The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Hello. How are you? It's me. And this is the Duncan Trussell Family Hour podcast. Solo episode. I enjoy doing these. They don't get as many views. Seems like some people seem to really like them. Some people are like, dude, you suck if you're not talking to somebody. What can I do? I get it. I understand the commentary. It would be easy to think that by doing a solo episode, I'm so self-inflated that I think that I have something important to say for over an hour straight. But it really isn't that at all. I just love yapping. And it isn't like this is a one-sided conversation. For those of you who are listening to the audio version of this, you could go to the YouTube and hang out with us live. I talk to my dearest viewers. We converse, we connect, we align, and we work shit out at a planetary level. There's a lot to talk about today. I've been getting a lot of DMs from my various socials asking why I turned the power off in Portugal and Spain. And I think that's a fair question. I could see why you would wonder that, especially if you were living out there. Of course, I wasn't getting any DMs from them because they didn't have power or Wi-Fi. So it was just people who knew that you had friends there and stuff. And like, dude, my grandmother was on like life support and stuff. I didn't even think about that when I did it. But also during this episode, I'm gonna show y'all something a little later down the road that most people have never seen. And it is related to the Midnight Gospel. We are not doing another season, so I don't want to like get your hopes up, but it is something cool that no one's ever seen. And we'll show that in a little bit because I want to make sure we have max visitors before I blast this sweet thing out. If you're listening to this on audio, unfortunately, because there's music in it that it's only going to be on the stream. It's not going to be, if you're watching this actually on YouTube proper after, it was just weird watching a live stream thing, isn't it? After it's been done, ugh, gives me the creeps, kind of like going in a haunted house, sitting and staring at a dead body. You know, it used to be a live stream, but now it's a dead stream. It's an echo. Whereas my dearest visitors here are getting something like somewhat live. Joseph is asking, it's not live. It's live, Joseph. What do you mean? It is live. That was a scary moment for you. It's not live. It's alive. It's alive, Joseph. See, that for those of you listening, I just looked over at my people watching. They're leaving comments, and somebody named Joseph seemed to have a sudden sense that this was not a live stream. I've had that before. I've watched 45 minutes of what I thought was a current events live stream from years ago. Really freaked out. I don't know if you've ever done that before. You realize in those moments how insanely powerful and idiotic the news is. Because it seemed real. It seemed like it was happening. It was like some bombing or something, but it happened a long time ago. I was getting freaked out years ago. I don't know if that's ever happened to you, but it's definitely an indication of why you shouldn't watch the news, which is, we all know that. That's not a cutting edge kind of statement, but what's the point? I've been going on the road so much lately, staying at hotels. And if you're listening, what you just heard is me putting a rogue wintergreen into my mouth. It's a disgusting sound. Yeah, I've been on the road a lot, man. And when I'm like extremely lazy, what I'll do is I'll just put on the news. That's the ultimate laziest thing you can pick when you're on the road. See, you have to sort of work your way through the channels and find HBO. Hopefully they have HBO because you don't want the commercials. The commercials are just like psychic daggers stabbing you in the pineal gland. I'm convinced that if there actually is some kind of dark conspiracy that is seeking to send psychic poison through TV stations, it's not just happening through the news, but it's happening via the commercials. The commercials, to me, and maybe I'm just overly sensitive or something. I know people who actually like commercials, but there's something about it that just really gives me an apocalyptic sense or a kind of like uneasy feeling that what I'm watching is more than just somebody trying to sell full body deodorant. I don't know exactly what that is they're trying to sell. I mean, full body deodorant has to be one of the most disgusting innovations in the last 20 years. It's the message that we are in an age where people could shamelessly put full body deodorant on, that you could theoretically be sitting in your bedroom smelling like shit. There's an answer. It's an ancient answer. It's called water and soap. Just go take a shower, rinse off. But instead, you decide to smear some cream that you, I guess you ordered. I can't remember if you order full body deodorant or if you have, it's deodorant. Here's the thing. This is what it is. It's deodorant. So somebody just saw deodorant and was like, I wonder what happens if I rub this on my butthole. And they did. And then what do you know, now that their butthole has some kind of chemical aluminum filled cream wiped on it, it doesn't smell bad anymore. So their ass, they don't have swamp ass. Their ass smells like somebody dumped laundry detergent in a swamp. And then they're like, well, I guess if it worked on my asshole, I should put it on my legs and my arms. Maybe they're having a nervous breakdown. It seems like a nervous breakdown behavior. Like when you're having a nervous breakdown, you're listening to Pink Floyd, you look at your deodorant and you just smear it all over your body. And then somewhere along the way, the psychotic voice that you've been hearing in your head says, this is your path to wealth. This is your path to abundance. People will want this experience. All you have to do is buy cheap Chinese deodorant, get it for a nickel, and you can get for a nickel a deodorant stick. Relabel it. Just get a shitty printer and call it full body deodorant, sell it for $15. And people will look at that and think, my God, of course, I need to wipe this all over my body. Anyway, for me, that's the problem with commercials. It sends me down a pretty dark rabbit hole where I have to think about, how did this start? I have to think about shooting the commercial. I have to think about casting. I think about when I used to try to get into commercials, going down to Culver City to these awful, awful demonic warehouses where they do commercial auditions. So this is like, if you think of Los Angeles as a wild jungle filled with all kinds of rarefied creatures, some of them incredibly symmetrical, some of them incredibly insane, the commercial casting warehouse is like the low-grade water hole. It's the watering hole for the riffraff of Los Angeles. And so you go there, you just sort of like drive your car, which is always about to break down. You shuffle in to read a couple of lines for some shitty commercial. You sit and wait surrounded by people who look like different degrees of you. You're essentially seeing the spectrum of your physical identity embodied in dudes. Like if you had like eaten better when you were a kid, dudes, if you had eaten worse, people who are more talented than you, people who are like obviously suffering from some kind of dementia or in the midst of a blackout, parrots waddling across the floor, and you wait. And then you go in and you've got to read one meaningless line. It doesn't mean anything. And there is a lot of self-importance behind the casting because it's supply and demand. And these people have this bizarre temporary power, which is they can choose you to be the full body deodorant guy. And so then you get a day or two later, your heart races. It's your commercial agent calling on your phone. Hello? Good news. You got a call back to that full body deodorant commercial. Oh my God. You're ready to call your mom. You're like, holy shit, this is it. This is the beginning of my career. Drive back down to that shitty place in Culver City. The audition will always be at like 5:15, which is going to ensure that you get both sides of rush hour. You're going to be stuck in LA traffic saying that one line over and over and over. This full body deodorant makes everything better. This full body deodorant, it made everything better. No, it's too serious. This full body deodorant made everything better. God, I used to smell like shit. But now I'm covered in chemicals. I used to smell like shit. But now I'm covered in chemicals, you know, and then you're muttering this shit all the way there. You get there. There's other people around trying to pretend like only one of you that we're not competing. You might have some bullshit small talk. Then you go in there, you read your one line. You didn't get it. You can tell and you leave. And that's it. 7 hours out of your life to get this full body deodorant commercial. So that sort of stuff, I think about it, the whole process. And then when you see back to back these insane things that they're selling us, you do start getting a sense that, though I don't know, you know, if we live in like an Alex Jones style prison planet, things like that do make you question what's going on. I mean, maybe it's just like when you see a commercial, that's actually TV. I'm going on too long about this, but the point is, I do unfortunately have to say that this episode of the DTFH is sponsored by White Mountain Full Body Deodorant. White Mountain Full Body Deodorant, as opposed to all the other full body deodorants, White Mountain only contains safe chemicals, including proprietary hydro aluminum, which is aluminum mixed in with water. And that will, of course, none of these claims have been verified. What do I say?
None of these claims have been verified.
None of these claims have been verified. But this will wipe, you won't get as much aluminum in your stinky, stinky body. And also, why take a shower anymore? There's a water shortage everywhere. And this will save gallons, billions of, an ocean of water will be saved by full body deodorant. So use offer code CHEMICALWIPE and you'll get 15% off your first crate. They only sell them by the crate. Now, on to more pressing issues. Can you, Josh, will you pull up on YouTube just a video of power out in Portugal? I don't know if you guys saw this or not, but for those listening, we're going to pull up power outage in Portugal. Look at this shit. Pull up any of these. Pull up the dark one. Breaking, a major power outage has been reported in Spain and Portugal, including their capitals. The countries have a combined population of over 50
million. Power outage has been reported in Spain and Portugal, including their capitals. The countries have a combined population of over 50 million people. It is not immediately clear how many people are affected. We did have some video from earlier today in regards to that power outage. The latest here is the fact that the Spanish power distributor, Red
Eléctrica,
said that restoring power fully to the country and neighboring Portugal could take 6 to 8 hours. By mid-afternoon, voltage was progressively being restored in the north, south, and west of the peninsula, according to the company. Company also declined to speculate on the causes of the huge blackout.
What does it matter?
Portuguese National Cybersecurity Center.
Will you pause it for a second? Hey, look, why worry about what caused this shit? We just weren't going to get the power back on, not think about what happened. But, I don't know where this came from, but initially they were saying it was an atmospheric, anomaly is what they said. An atmospheric anomaly. Oh shit, I don't think they could hear your video. You guys didn't hear the video? That sucks. Next time I'll narrate it. Can you guys hear me now? Hello? It's showing up on the streaming thing. Oh, they can hear me now. Good. Anyway, look, you didn't need to hear that. It's you know, classic news. There was a blackout in Spain and Portugal. There's no power. We don't know what's happening. They don't know what's happening. But these sorts of things, I think, are worth spending a little time putting your attention on. Not to scare yourself, not to freak yourself out, but more to remind all of us that this long-form, massive multiplayer online role-playing game that we call Human Civilization is prone to breaking down at random times. And I think that's good to think about. I mean, it's not necessarily to get your amygdala squirting, which is fun, we'll all admit it, but more to direct all of us to the impermanent nature of everything in this particular little moat of time space we all find ourselves sharing. And that is maybe why I don't like commercials. Maybe that's why TV bugs the shit out of me so much, because there is, in the sort of never-ending invitation for you to buy something like full body deodorant, and also in the sort of, I don't know, editorialization that comes from reporters, and not just that, the aesthetic, you know, this kind of polished, put together conveyors of what's happening today in game space. There's a sense of like permanence. There's an implicit kind of like, here is what a healthy, well, you know, put together person looks like. Anderson Cooper, Sean Hannity.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall. With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go
big time
on a fancy water bottle
with ultra-titanium alloy metal.
You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water.
But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
Jimmy Fallon, I don't know, the talking heads that we all get used to. And there's not many of them, if you think about it, on what they call legacy media. There's just a few. But it gives this indication of like, all right, here's sort of like sophistication or modern day, like this is what an adult looks like. That's the messaging there. Whatever the fuck they're saying, who knows? But because they've sort of positioned themselves as the articulators of what's happening in reality, they also bear a kind of strange, almost priest-like power. And that within the stories that they tell, it's always a sense of like, this shit could definitely last forever. And when the power goes out and 50 million people are affected by that, and they're not sure why, which means they can't say why, they definitely know why. There's no way that power goes out for 50 million people and they're like, I have no idea. Did someone hit the switch? There's no switch, is there? I don't think there is in the power station. Is there like some right next to the light switch? Something that turns the power off completely? No. meaning that they, you know, obviously, I mean, maybe I'm just assuming, I've never been in a power station, but I'm assuming if you're running a power station, you have granular data about everything that's happening, because you, all of whatever civilization you're like supplying power to kind of depends on your power to keep playing the game the way we play it. So, you know, and that's creepy. It would almost be better if they said it's demand. There is too much demand, or any other reason. And maybe they'll come out with some reason, but the fact they're not instantly saying this is why it happened, that's way more ominous. Because that means either, one, they're lying. They do know some crazy shit happened, and they can't say they were hacked. It was a solar flare, some kind of weird EMP. Who knows? Or maybe even worse, they just don't know. Maybe even worse, who knows? Maybe our galaxy is just drifting into some part of the universe where electricity doesn't work the same way. It's some kind of three-body problem shit. Who knows? Maybe physics is changing. Maybe someone at CERN fucked up and, like, destabilized some fundamental aspect of physics. Who knows? That is scarier than having an explanation, because that means at any moment, the lights just go out. And this is, of course, what the conspiracy family calls the Great Reset, which is, you know, I guess their view of it is that there's, you know, a small group of like elite people who look out at the world and recognize, oh, no. This is terrible. We got to reset this control, alt delete this motherfucker. We got to figure it out. And they just want to, like, you know, just, let's start over. We'll turn the power off for a year. And at the other side of that year, they'll come running to us, begging for our help. But we'll just kind of like ghost them for a year. Let them work out what no power is like. Let them understand what they actually are. Just pathetic gerbils in some technological gerbil aquarium skittering around. They don't even know what, when the stoplights don't work, they don't know what to do. They don't know how to do anything. These are history majors. They don't know how to start a fire. They don't know how to run a generator. They don't know how to solder. They don't know how to fix anything. They don't know how to sew. They definitely don't know how to fight. They have no idea, most of them, how to do anything. So let's just cut the fucking power out. And whoever's still around at the end of that year, they can participate in the new civilization. Now that's, I don't buy that, actually. Do you believe that, Josh?
Well, Klaus Schwab warned of a cyber pandemic.
Right. And this is, of course, in the sort of, I don't know what you would call it, in the conspiracy aesthetic. There's an idea that they let you know first. And then they do it. It's almost like some kind of weird vampire law, like a vampire only goes where they're invited. Like they seem to have some kind of, you know, lawful evil style code. And within that code, they transmit their next moves. Not because they want to, but because for some reason it gives them a way out. They could just sort of shrug and be like, I mean, we told you. And or, you know, it's like the parable in the Bible, let him who has ears to listen hear. You know, this sort of encoded, like, we are going to give a shot to people who are lucid enough out there to realize that what's happening is a process which we're all participating in. And part of that process separates the good seeds from the bad seeds. And the idea is, in this refining process, we end up with like increasingly more harmonious forms of civilization that make more sense. But sort of the internet, this coalescing of micro audiences, this losing of the microphone via technology that used to be the crucial mechanism of control, has put them in a very terrible situation that they're not sure what to do about that, because you're not supposed you're supposed to have like the well put together dude in a suit. You're supposed to have the lady in a cocktail dress. You're supposed to have, you know, I don't know, Wolf fucking Blitzer all grumpy and serious saying this is what's real and this is what's not. But the moment they lose power, then, and you've got all kinds of people like my yappy ass, just, I could just do this. This is not possible 15 years ago. It was, but it would be very expensive. And so, holy fuck, what do we do? Everything's now just this madness. We're looking at like, you know, default reality itself is splitting, fractalizing. So now you have all these various reality tunnels people are living in, and these reality tunnels seem to be growing further and further apart. So essentially people are living in parallel universes based on whatever data set they are habituated to absorbing more than whatever other data set. You've got the TikTok universe. That's the drama universe where people are embroiled in some kind of opinions regarding some influencer's latest misstep. Then you've got the geopolitical default reality, which is, you know, populated by people who have very strong opinions about, you know, who should be the president, who should be the prime minister of Canada, who don't live in Canada. That's the craziest shit. You've got non-Canadians like watching these elections like, oh, fuck. Like, you're not in Canada. What do you give a fuck? That's not your country. But it means more than that. So you've got those people, and those people have like hard core opinions regarding geopolitics. So that's a reality tunnel. And then you've got a million other reality tunnels and fandoms, various fandoms, people completely obsessed and absorbed into video games or music. And these things are just breaking apart. So there's people walking around living in completely different universes based on what data they have and what data they don't have. And this is producing a schizoid kind of culture where what used to bring us all together, that's not even happening. Movies, oh my God, summertime blockbusters. You would go to the movie theater, everybody's talking about some fucking movie, Footloose. I remember Footloose, that's how old I am. Did you ever see Footloose?
I saw some of the dancing, the choreography, I enjoyed it.
Kevin Bacon.
Yep.
Kevin Bacon, Footloose. You're, the story of Footloose. It's some fucking town, I think, where it's illegal to dance.
Mm-hmm.
That's, what is that, First Amendment violation? Or is that Second Amendment?
First.
That's a First Amendment violation. You can't make it illegal to dance. But Kevin Bacon didn't take the law angle. Kevin Bacon took the, like, let's live life angle, goes into this fucking town and gets a bunch of idiots to dance and everything's better. Rom Rom, Gary Lee Hoskins. But the point is, packaged within the summer blockbuster was an entire menu, a kind of an aesthetic for the summer. This is what we're going to be wearing. This is what we're going to be listening to. This is how we are responding to some perceived like negative aspect of the culture. I guess Footloose is like a pushback against in those days were like classic puritanical conservative ideals. This is right around the time of the Satanic Panic, I believe. So in those days, conservatives were not what they are now. In those days, conservatives were like, you know, very like judgmental, puritanical, exclusionary warmongers, basically.
Nancy Reagan.
Thank you. War on drugs. And so fucking Kevin Bacon comes in jiggling all over the place, and that represents the new thing coming in. We're going to push back against these old crusty fucking fascist pieces of shit, and we're going to do it nonviolently through dancing. And so then everywhere you went, you would hear, Footloose, Footloose, everybody get Footloose, yeah, 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 yeah. And that was the summer hit, and people would start acting like Kevin Bacon. That was the craziest thing about it. Whatever character the the lead in these summer blockbusters, whatever the way they were acting, would actually inform behaviors, would become a meme. We didn't even have the word back then. But all of a sudden, people are dressing like Kevin Bacon. People are like, you know what? Maybe we should go dancing. And this would be the way that Hollywood would sort of influence culture. Brands would get wrapped up in there too. Part of the way they funded these blockbusters was, you know, having this brand or that brand show up in the coolest scene. You know, yeah, I drink Coke. And so that was the way you shape the cultural clay. And now no one's fucking going to movies anymore. And if they are, they're not going to the same movies. It's not happening anymore. It's not really happening. The Minecraft movie is like the best example I've seen of what used to be normal. Well, you didn't have the chicken jockey thing, but still, it was like, you know, that is an example. I mean, everyone's like, oh my God, chicken jockey. They're freaking out in the movie. But that used to just be like that. Maybe it wasn't chicken jockey and people wouldn't freak out at movies, but for sure, behavior was influenced. Like whatever the pop morality was of the time, there was some commentary on it and people would change behaviors based on what they saw. And it was a kind of teaching. You know, the intelligentsia would come up with a ridiculous story within which was some kind of parable, which inevitably directed the herd animals of make up, you know, the West and how they should, like, where they should graze, what they should, how they should fuck, what they should look like. And all of that is just being diffused now. And so it's a nervous breakdown. We don't have the metronome anymore we used to have. There's a million different metronomes. They're all at different BPMs. And people are like, if you ask me, and this is probably not true, but if I had to roll the dice, the horror, if you're a powerful person who issues decrees, and that's what powerful people do, they decree things. It's part of having power. You issue decrees, and which is nuts. It's just a person. And God, when you get to be like my age, you really do start recognizing these are just fucking people. But they issue a decree, and they do it with like a kind of like power imbued upon them by, in our case, democracy. And so they issue a decree that is more important than other people issuing a decree. For example, if I say, we really, really need to pay attention to what's happening in Iran right now. It is very important to understand that we will not allow Iran to have nuclear weapons. No one gives a shit. I could say that at a bar. No one gives a shit. No one cares. But if one of the great decreers says it, it's everywhere. And we're like, oh my God, we're about to go to war with Iran. So that's what they do. They issue decrees. We listen to it. They come out and they say, this is a new law. And we listen to it. I guess it's a new law. But the horror of, I think, hierarchical power structures is not losing power in the way we think, a coup or like losing an election or something like that. There's another thing that could happen, which I don't think has ever happened in the history of revolutions, which is just you stop listening to them. You don't give a shit anymore. It's like the Wizard of Oz moment. You're like, I don't know what you're talking about. And I guess I have to take you seriously because if I don't, the dudes in the stormtrooper outfits come out and spray poison in my face. But if people just stop taking them as seriously as the decreers need us to take them seriously, and if that starts happening because there's so many other data sets and other things become more important than them, then the entire framework of power just dissolves. And then what? Chaos, anarchy reigns. So that's a long way of talking about this reason for the Great Reset. We should turn the fucking power off, man. Just shut it all down. Let's do it. Let's fucking shut it down. Let's stop giving them access to this tech that's allowing them to have conversations that aren't informed by what we need them to be paying attention to. And I get it. I mean, that's a really like brand new problem. That's never happened before. Never happened to kings. I mean, it would. You would gather in the basement of some inn and you would like mutter some conspiratorial shit. And then like the king's guard would come in and burn your ass or put you in an Iron Maiden. So that's one of the theories regarding the power outage, is it's a test run. You've seen that.
Yeah.
Where do you get your conspiracies? Where are you getting your conspiracies from?
My Twitter algorithm is pretty, you know, full of conspiracies. And I think the Great Reset, they have to turn off the grid, you know, so we can't get to our bank accounts. And there needs to be a reason why you can't get to the bank account. Or maybe the people in Portugal, just all of them didn't pay their electric bill. That could be it too. It could be their fault.
Yeah, I think that's probably the second one is what happened, for sure. Definitely didn't have anything to do with a test run. See what you do. I guess that is a great preventative measure. If there's a run on the banks, you just turn the power off. And then you don't have to say, well, you don't have any more money in there. You could just be like, dude, the ATMs are down. Come back tomorrow when the power's back on.
Well, if the FDIC had a meeting, and it's on YouTube, you can find it, where it said that they're not calling a bailout. They're calling it a bail-in. So if you have over $250,000, the FDIC does not cover that in your bank. So if you have $1 million, you can lose $750,000, and then that is used to pay off the debt of the country. Bail-in.
Ah, bail-in. I feel good. That's, you know, and also the thing about that is just because statistically, most people are going to be like, that sounds fucking awesome. There's not going to be a great outcry from the majority of people when that. What's the average median income in the United States?
48,000.
48,000. So if that's the average median income, you're not going to get a big pushback to the buy-in. It's just like, yeah, great. Redistribute the wealth. That's the most clever way of redistributing the wealth of all time.
But then you get a digital currency, and that digital currency tells you, hey, you're fat. You can't get McDonald's again. So they can cut off what you can purchase.
I mean, is that so bad? I would like it to just be like, no. That's great. If there's some AI that's like, hey, we're not going to In-N-Out Burger today, dude. It's not going to work there. I would some BDSM submissive part of me like, all right, I guess you're right. Can't keep eating In-N-Out. So that's the one take. Now, the other take is way, way creepier. The Great Reset falls under the umbrella of the evil control system. So there is some kind of puppeteer running the show, or a group of puppeteers running the show. And even though that is horrible to imagine, and nobody would want to think that, but it seems pretty logical to some degree. It's like in that Paul Simon song, something like a loose affiliation of millionaires and billionaires. Like, yeah, of course, like people who control the weapons, the shipping routes, the ships, the technology, these people are going to have more influence than others. And so whether or not that's like the Illuminati or not, they probably wouldn't even call themselves that. They just happen to be people who have in their cell phone the phone numbers of like heads of state for 20 different countries. And they could actually just call them up and be like, hey, what the fuck is this? Are you serious? And they're like, oh, yeah, I'm sorry, but here's why. And this is that's what they mean. So, but within that umbrella of conspiracy theories, there's comfort, because there's a sense of like, well, you know, people are still controlling things. There's a human control element there that, you know, that's not, you know, if you look at history, that's not always the best thing, but still it's not so chaotic. It's not so random. Then, once you waddle out from under your embarrassing umbrella where that you think you're edgelording, you've like, you've connected the dots, you've gone down the rabbit hole, you understand what it is. It's the World Bank. It's digital currency. It's a collaboration between Bill Gates and eugenicists and Israel and whatever. Once you step out from under that, that's where you get to the real shit. And that stuff is to me, like, probably more likely and much more terrifying, which seems, you know, you don't have to be Alex Jones to recognize that there are craters on this planet, like that are there because like a mountain fell out of the fucking sky. And you don't have to be some kind of like, you don't have to be David Icke to like recognize that the entirety of everything we know as civilization is if you go upstream from electricity, you get to the sun. Oh my God. And we know the sun is on cycles. And we also know that we only have a limited amount of data regarding how the sun behaves. You know, I mean, people could talk about like solar flares. We know there was, well, can you look up solar flare takes out? What's that big solar flare incident? Solar flare takes out power grid, but it actually happened. There was a huge solar flare. Yeah, just look up that. See what comes up. Yeah, look up the Carrington event. I don't know if you guys can see this. I'm going to read it. The Carrington event was the most intense geomagnetic storm in recorded history, peaking on the 1st to 2nd of September during solar cycle 10. It created strong auroral displays that were reported globally and caused sparking and even fires in telegraph stations. The geomagnetic storm was most likely the result of a coronal mass ejection from the sun colliding with Earth's magnetosphere. The geomagnetic storm was associated with a very bright solar flare on the 1st of September, 1859. It was observed and recorded independently by British astronomer Richard Carrington and Richard Hodgson. I wonder if Richard Hodgson was like, this is bullshit. This is a Hodgson event. You know, that's the kind of luck I have. You know, he was just a little late in reporting this shit, and then Carrington gets all the credit. A geomagnetic storm of this magnitude occurring today has the potential to cause widespread electrical disruptions, blackouts, and damage to the electrical power grid. So this is where my brain goes to when things like that happen in Portugal. And especially look up anomalous atmospheric event Portugal, because this is what was reported, what I saw. Anomalous atmospheric event. Atmospheric event. Let's see if you can find that. Portugal. Put Portugal there. You're going to get a bunch of shit for that. Oh, yeah. Yeah, play that. See if they say it. Rare atmospheric phenomena behind huge outages. This might cut my audio off, guys. I don't know. Essential cookies don't accept all. Are you mad? I'm in a tent with my brother. This is great. I'm going to eat some popcorn and voting with my husband. Now we're drunk. I got nothing for you. I transported from a grill here. I love to grill. Are you grilling? Skip that shit.
National grid operator says that a rare atmospheric phenomenon is behind a major power outage that's affected large parts of that country as well as Spain. Footage from the Spanish capital, Madrid, shows chaotic scenes at junctions.
Okay, good. You can just stop it. Did our audio go out, you guys?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's creepy, right, y'all? Rare atmospheric phenomena. Now, that's pretty much the last thing you want to hear when there's a blackout of that fucking magnitude. You don't want to hear that. Rare atmospheric phenomena, but they don't say what it was. They don't say what it was. What rare atmospheric phenomena? A flock of Pegasi? What happened, man? Tell us. When you say rare atmospheric phenomena, that can mean a million fuck witches. Bro, just a billion witches on broomsticks flew over Portugal and Spain. What does it mean? A rare atmospheric phenomena. Zero explanation for what they said. Now, I mean, that just could mean that whoever's running the power grid out there is very smart. I was like, just say it's a rare atmospheric phenomena. Not that we flipped the wrong switch. But whoa, that is crazy. Now, I looked into this. Apparently, there wasn't any kind of like solar activity that day that would point towards the sun being behind it, which then, okay, if that's not the case, if it wasn't some kind of solar flare, then what was it? HARP?
Russia has these planes that when they fly over you, they do EMPs and it'll shut down everything below you.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's where you get into some kind of EMP, electromagnetic pulse. But I do think if you do an EMP, it damages tech. It doesn't just shut the power off. Yeah. EMPs are going to fry out everything. So if an EMP happens, your phone will not work anymore. Even if the power comes back on, it fries out motherboards and stuff. So probably not an EMP. But, you know, whatever the fuck it was, you would think they would say what it was. And then this is where you sort of dive into like another conspiracy theory, which I'm fascinated by, which is that when you get information like that, which is a normal thinking person would like, you would, when you hear something like that, you expect, and that rare atmospheric phenomena was, but it doesn't come. It leaves this kind of like tension. And there is a theory that that's all on purpose, that the control systems are intentionally creating a wobbly data realm to make all of us feel really insecure all the time and stupid. Because the other implicit thing, this is good to think about that too, is like, what are they implying when they say stuff? Because when you say rare atmospheric phenomena and don't say what it is, you're basically saying, I think my viewers are idiots. They're not going to want to know. They probably don't even know what phenomena means. Why go on? Let's just show people at a roundabout who seem confused and just keep moving forward. So whatever the fuck happened, especially based on the shit that's happening with Russia and everything and the tariffs and the rising global tension and it all like fits into an aesthetic that seems to be emerging this year in the world. And that aesthetic is the aesthetic of instability. That's pretty much across the board what we're getting. We're getting all of these like seemingly disparate events that all share something in common, which is instability. You get, like, for example, right now there's the conclave where they're picking out a new pope. So we're in between popes right now, a relatively rare event. Diadon, Gary, thank you so much. If you guys give me money and I miss saying it, I'm really sorry. Josh, will you alert me when that happens?
Yeah, you got this one right here. KT Videos.
KT Videos is saying, I don't know what I did to my chat GPT, but it's very confident humanity will collapse within 60 months. Not to Mad Max levels, but be unrecognizable and not what we think. ChatGPT, just, you know, probably on a bender. Probably hadn't slept in a few days.
And there's this one too.
And wait, RIP, rest in peace, Uriel Septim the 7th. We might have to, I don't know who that is, Gary Lee Haskins, if it's a friend or someone connected to you, but please don't let that be some kind of white supremacist dude. Have you looked into Skywatchers yet? No. Is that a show? Anyway, the point is, it's instability across the board. You've got like every single thing that's happening right now, at least, you know, at the public data watering holes, is just instability. Everything is like sending a message of like, we don't know what the fuck's going to happen. And this is a little different. It's always like that, of course, but usually there's a general sense of a plan or something. Right now it feels like nobody really knows what the fuck's going on. The stock market is rising and falling. We've got like geopolitical chaos everywhere. No, nobody knows what's next. And yet everything seems pretty okay.
You had one here from Alexander Wang.
Alexander Wang says, I like my earth with a little four horsemen. Yeah. I mean, you know, if you do look at like the Book of Revelations, not as prognostication, but maybe as a set of things that always happen when civilization reaches a certain level. If you sort of buy into the Graham Hancock theory that maybe humans have been here much longer, the flood myth, there was some kind of pre-existing civilization. They're the people who built the pyramids. They're the people who all of Göbekli Tepe and all of those megalithic sites are sort of the remnants of some advanced civilization that got wiped out by something, some event. And so the Book of Revelations, if you think of it as not so much prophecy as much as here is what you can look for when this thing happens that always happens, then it's the Four Horsemen become very interesting, you know, and all of the sort of weird visions that John had, John of Patmos had. First Horseman, disease. Plague, disease, right? First Horseman's disease, Second Horseman, war. Google the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go
big time
on a fancy water bottle.
With ultra-titanium alloy metal.
You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water.
But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time. For water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
Now, it's weird to think that would now be like the four Uber drivers of the apocalypse. Because they didn't have cars back then. Conquest, war, famine, and death. I thought, it's conquest, white horse. But the order, that's weird. I didn't know that. I thought it was like first was plague, then war, then famine, then conquest. Huh, what's wrong about my horseman? The second horseman riding a red horse signifies violence, bloodshed, the devastation of war. The third horseman riding a black horse represents hunger, starvation, and economic hardship. If you kind of look at that, though, as a natural process, it sort of makes sense. And the fourth horseman riding pale horse embodies death itself. Yeah. Well, whatever's going down. Wait. Whoa. Healthy debate. That is clickbaity. There is a fifth horseman of the apocalypse, and it's us. Click on that. That is some great clickbait. The Book of Revelations of the New Testament lists the four horsemen of the apocalypse as conquest, war, famine, and death, while in the Old Testament's Book of Ezekiel, they are sword, famine, wild beasts, and pestilence. But whatever we call them, they're remarkably close to what we might call the four horsemen of ecology that regulate population size and nature. That's what I was trying to get at. In his 2016 book, The Serengeti Rules, Sean Carroll discusses the work of pioneering ecologist Charles Elton in thinking about how animal numbers are regulated to avoid overpopulation. Elton suggested that in general, increases in numbers were held in check by predators, pathogens, parasites, and food supply. So when the human population gets to a certain level, there's a probable set of things that will happen that will reset civilization. And those are, that's, you know, the horsemen just represent those things. KT Videos is saying, what horseman is responsible for sending celebrities to space? The coolest horseman? Horseman who's getting his dick sucked all the time. Skywatchers is a UAP group founded by Jake Barber. You might get a kick out of it. Hopefully we can solve the energy paradox. But, you know, these things that are happening were not just foretold by John of Patmos in the book of Revelations or the book of Ezekiel. More recently, these kinds of predictions came from people like Terrence McKenna. And pull up on YouTube, Josh, Terrence McKenna talks about the end of the world, the end of history. End of the world. Yeah.
This one or this one?
Probably the end of time, the animated one.
The idea being...
I might dock you for that one, but...
Okay, don't play it. Play it, Terrence McKenna on the end of the world. This could be it, too.
The idea being, you see, that each epoch being shorter than the one that preceded it, this generates an asymptotic curve of approach. And it's become a cliche of our culture that time is speeding up. It actually is speeding up. It's not that it seems like it's speeding up.
They're saying no audio.
Oh, shit. I wonder why.
I don't know. Certain videos don't play audio.
Whoa, that's brilliant. Okay, we figured this out, guys. It looks like certain videos have it set up so that you can't play audio on them, so people can't live stream them, I guess. Try to play that other one. And we just won't, we'll just cut that out of the...
Let's see if they can hear us now. Can you guys hear us now?
Can you guys hear us?
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to try one other McKenna video and see if this cuts out. Keep your eye on it to see if it cuts it out. Are you guys hearing music? Are you hearing my copyright violation?
Novelty is not necessarily...
Are they hearing?
Good. Or nice.
What?
Novel.
All right. Well, we got to figure that out. For some reason, the audio isn't working. The point is, McKenna talks about, for those of you who are familiar with him, you're already aware of this. Terrence McKenna had a bunch of visions on various entheogens and sort of had this sense of an impending thing called the singularity. And he also had a very acute understanding of Moore's law, of the effect of having increasingly sophisticated technology, what the sort of cultural disruption that one might expect from what he called an asymptotic, I always call it the hockey stick, but from a sudden, like, exponentially induced velocity from, like, you know, where all of a sudden we start getting new innovations every month instead of every 100 years. And so this leads to what he called the singularity. And in a clip that we probably can't play, I might be able to find out my phone and play it through here, though. He talks about what one might expect in the lead up to that event. And I think he was like, it's exactly what's happening right now. Just this sort of final phase of the caterpillar turning into the butterfly, the melting down of all forms, the melting down of institutions, the melting down of all formerly universally accepted ways of being, melting down of our understanding of everything. And you could say, like, the culture war debate over the meaning of womanhood, or manhood, like, what are we? Are we, what is a woman? Like, all of that stuff is related to what's coming, which is these sort of universal structures that have been the pillars of civilization are being eroded and dissolved by technology and hyper digital connection, which is allowing a never before seen transfer of data, for better or for worse. Because for better, whatever state apparatus is trying to censor certain ideas, it can't successfully censor those ideas. For worse, a kind of, I guess you could say, like clicky, culty, the formation of all these micro cults that aren't based on what you would necessarily call truth, but on a shared distortion of reality. And so this is exactly what you'd expect if we could just instantaneously communicate with anyone all over the planet. And then add to it AI getting involved. Whoa. Now you've got, like, you know, and they just, I'll show you this. I'm sure we could pull this up.
Yeah, two super chats.
Oh, shit. Hey, love you. I love Harlan. You mean Harlan Williams? I love him. He is so funny. I'll see what I could do. Maybe he'll come to the mothership or something.
And this one.
Dropping Dab says, it's not a big mystery. Last few days, there is the biggest Corona hole activity in a decade. Oh, really? I didn't see that. We got to look that up. Thank you, Dropping Dabs. Pull up, Josh, if you could pull up Corona hole activity. Corona hole. Nothing I love more than dipping my fingers in that wet old Corona hole. It's hot and wet. Okay. Oh, shit! No, that's January 31st. See, I go to news. Click on news. See if we got anything. Yeah, see, I didn't really see any of that. Maybe you could supply a link to show us where that is, because I did look to see if we were getting some kind of weird sun weather, and I couldn't find it.
And you had another super chat.
Jesus Christ! Diadon, imagine when AI can power themselves with something like fusion. Do you think humans might be quantum computers with their efficiency? Gonna make me go broke chatting with you. Yeah, that, I feel bad, Diadon. I don't know what to do. I can see everyone's chat. But when you super chat, it turns bright orange, so it alerts me, which is lame, because then the people who aren't doing that get ignored, and that makes me seem like some kind of classist fucking piece of shit. Basically a whore. I got to read one of these non-super chats just to balance it out. Rory Ladd says, just coming back from 2 days of ayahuasca, just want to shout some love out to the rest of the family. Thank you, Rory. Diadon, look, he didn't pay for this one. Suspicious Observer has a good space weather monitoring channel. Thank you, Diadon. Landon Blackburn says, if I had money, I'd share with you. Look, you didn't need money. Obi says, hello from Lubbock. Hello. Jordan M's getting GIMP problems. My GIMP has stolen my certification, and I'm terrified of the potential repercussions. Well, look, I got to address that. This, and I should have mentioned it earlier. Yeah, we don't know what that is yet. And I am going to fund a study, but GIMPs really love certificates. And so this is why, if you are certified, I recommend a hermetically sealed GIMP-proof certificate room. And people love certificate rooms. I love when I go to someone's house and I'm like, want to see my certificate room. And they, and you know, if it's sort of, if it's easy to get in your certificate room, you kind of only have yourself to blame, because GIMPs are drawn to certificates like a moth to flame. And I know there's been previous studies. Blitzer Reichard, 1973, Stanford University, anomalous GIMP attraction to certifications and certificates. They did a really cool study where they would take randomly selected GIMPs and they would put the certificate, like a good certificate, like a Harvard degree is what they used. And they did use a few others to make sure it's just not the Harvard degree. They all had the same result. They would take the degree and they would put it in the middle of a hedge maze. And so put the GIMP in the hedge maze, and via some, maybe it's what birds use to fly south, maybe it's how whales navigate the oceans, the GIMP would traverse the hedge maze 60 to 70% faster than hedge mazes that didn't have a certificate in the center. And because we do all know GIMPs will go to a septic tank, They did put a septic tank in one of the hedge mazes, and this was a 30% increase in the GIMP getting to the septic tank, whereas the certificate, like, double speed to get to that certificate. So we don't know what that is. I'm sorry I didn't mention it earlier. I know a lot of y'all have GIMPs, and, you know, it's, I think, for me, at my age, like, I need a hobby, so I love raising my GIMPs. I love my GIMPs. I treat them well, but, you know, it's challenging. It's challenging. It's definitely more challenging than like a French bulldog. And also like finding like authentic GIMPs these days is not easy because you're going to get a lot of like people pretending to be GIMPs.
People are calling you a GIMP pimp.
No, I'm not a GIMP pimp. A GIMP pimp is someone who sells GIMPs or exploits GIMPs. I'm actually very much against GIMP pimps. And if you want to go to stopgimppimping.edu, you should check that out because there's a lot of information about what we're doing to prevent GIMP exploitation, which is only getting worse and worse these days. And yeah, they're GIMPs. I mean, they like isolation. They like being sent under the stairs. They like all the stuff. But, you know, they're still GIMPs. Like, they still deserve, like, a basic standard of treatment. And nothing worse than, you know, I have two rescue GIMPs. So fuck off. I'm not a GIMP pimp. I have two rescue GIMPs. And when they came to me, they were just a mess. And now they're just... They follow rules. They don't mutter at night, which is one of the most annoying fucking things. Either a new GIMP or a rescue GIMP, they mutter under your stairs. It sounds so creepy. I hate it. A muttering GIMP. Nothing worse than a muttering GIMP. But my GIMPs are quiet. They're satisfied, and they follow the rules. But that is because I do keep my septic tank well secured. I keep my certificate in a very secure room, and it's wild because they know it's there. And I just, you know, I could see them looking at that door all the time, and I don't know how to stop that, but it's better than getting in there and, you know, shoving the certificate into their GIMP suit and then making you get it out. Fuck it up. It's one of the fucked up things they do, having to slide your hand down into that old hairy GIMP body and finding it, and always it's in their butt. Who do you think was the first ever GIMP? Do we have recorded GIMP history? Is it natural in nature? It's very, well, okay. I appreciate your question, KT Videos, and I'm sure you didn't mean to be offensive, but yeah, GIMPs are natural. And I hate that you're even, because even like proposing that perhaps it's unnatural to have a GIMP in a full leather bodysuit under your stairs is... just sort of shows some work you got to do on yourself. It's so wild to me. Like, some people will have a fountain at their house. Is that natural? It's not a creek. It's not running down from the mountains. It's plugged in. There's a pump. Nobody, you know, you could have 15 fountains at your fucking house and nobody's going to say anything, but you could have a GIMP under your stairs and everyone judges you. And this is so sad. It's relaxing. It's feng shui. It's good fortune for the house. My kids love the GIMP. You know, it's great. And yeah, you can look at the petroglyphs of Dongkang, and there's literally massive GIMPs that were carved in. You can only see it from the sky. Beautiful GIMPs, beautiful ancient GIMPs. They found GIMP bones. In Evrongling, they found a stack of GIMP bones, lovingly stacked GIMP bones, which is what GIMPs, when you do a GIMP funeral, which is one of the saddest, sweetest things I've ever been to, that's part of the thing. You flay the flesh, you stack the bones. So, yeah.
I keep my GIMP behind the red curtains. He likes to watch.
They love red curtains.
Yep.
Now, what have you tried? Did you do the thing with a striped curtain? Did you put your GIMP behind this striped curtain?
No, I was afraid it'd cause epilepsy.
It does. Yeah, it does. And that's a weird thing. There's such strange, magical creatures. Can you scroll back up a little bit? Self-banning. Thank you, KT Videos. I was going to issue a self-ban to you. But yeah, just 3-minute self-ban. I don't think you meant anything by it. But it's just the kind of thing that, you know, I'm a little sensitive about. And whoever called me a GIMP pimp, 5-minute self-ban. Eagle Vision is saying GIMPs love to watch. And this is true. This is why the GIMP is one. If you want to like learn patience, all you need to do is, you know, place your GIMP either in front of your bedroom or in front of the bathroom and just watch. Leave the door open, leave it cracked. They are sneaky. So they think that you don't know they're watching you take a shit or whatever. And it's incredible. They're so quiet and patient. And I've learned so much about, you know, listening from my GIMP. You know, if listen like a GIMP. Ben Franklin used to say that. And, you know, or Edgar Allan Poe would say he had the ears of a GIMP. And it's because, you know, you just, they fully like attune themselves to you pooping. Like, it's not like a normal perv thing. Like, they're, it's way more than, it's like watching Jane Goodall. It's probably the way gorillas felt with Jane Goodall. Like, they, when they were looking over at Jane Goodall watching them, they were probably thinking, we're not that interesting. Like, what the fuck? Like, she does know that we're like gorillas in the mist, right? Like, we're just gorillas. What does she see in us that we don't see? Didn't you just throw your shit at Frank? Look at her. Throw your shit again. Watch. She'll write it down. So this is there's the Path of the GIMP. The Path of the GIMP is a wonderful book for anyone interested. Please also, and I'm not going to go on and on about GIMPs, but you got me started. Do me a favor. You know, around Halloween, everyone adopts a GIMP. And it's just so sad because these GIMP shelters, they don't have the standards that I wish they had. And I get it. They've got a bunch of GIMPs, many of them soiled, many of them covered in septic slop. And, you know, they don't know what to do with them. And, of course, they euthanize them after, like, 48 hours. So it's just sad to me, though, because people will go there, they adopt the GIMP for Halloween, they take the GIMP, put them under the stairs. They don't even have the under the stairs appropriately, like, set up for a GIMP, you know, that they have a sleeping bag under there. You don't put a sleeping bag down for your GIMP. You put straw.
Mm-hmm.
And
too well lit also.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It needs to be, it should be one tiny red pin light in there. And that's it. If that, pitch black is great. But yeah, so then, you know, their friends come over. Everyone wants to see the GIMP. And then Halloween ends. And, you know, pretty soon they realize, oh, my God, it's like there's so many other things involved. I've got to oil the GIMP suit. I've, you know, so many things. And then, of course, they didn't secure the GIMP. And then the GIMP gets out and then their septic tank fucks up. And they generally don't even care that the GIMP is gone. They're just, oh, why is my toilet backing up? And then they get the plumber. The plumber opens the fucking septic tank and there's a GIMP in there. And then they will post some bullshit on Reddit about how GIMPs suck. And then that GIMP goes back to the shelter, gets euthanized, because no one generally will adopt a twice sheltered GIMP, which is bullshit. One of my rescue GIMPs was in the shelter twice, and he's fine. They're fine. Not sure. KT Videos wants to know, is paying $5, thank you, to ask, are GIMPs self-aware? I think, what if I am a GIMP? You're not a GIMP. I see your avatar there. It does look like a GIMP. You're not a GIMP. If you have to ask if you're a GIMP, you're not a GIMP. And yes, GIMPs are self-aware. They're not in the same way humans are, but like in a mycelial way. They do share a connection with all planetary GIMPs. And they thrum together is the term for it, which is kind of like the way cats purr. A healthy GIMP will thrum. At night, it's very comforting under the stairs. You can hear my thrumming GIMPs, and it's like. And so this is some kind of like they're connecting with all the other thrumming GIMPs, and it forms the great Gaian GIMP mind, which is another thing that's unstable. If you look at what's been happening to the Gaian GIMP mind, it is not stable anymore. It's not at the same resonance it used to be. It fluctuates massively. And this is because people aren't taking care of their GIMPs. Maybe that's what happened in Portugal. I don't know.
What did Bob Barker always say? Spay, make sure to spay and neuter your GIMPs?
Yeah, well, definitely. Yeah, you should. Yeah, you castrate the GIMP.
Yeah.
And it's not like it sounds. There's ways to do it. They don't even know. They don't care. D. La Follette James, I missed it. Duncan, my love, you missed my super chat earlier. Can we get an official statement as to why we no longer get the Jonestown Choir singing at the beginning of each episode? I miss it greatly. Because I moved it to YouTube and I figured that would just like trigger something. Welcome to capitalism, baby. Maybe I'll get some kids to sing that.
Oh, one of your former GIMPs has something to say.
Brett's Outdoor Experiences says, I used to be a GIMP at Duncan's house. I escaped. Not true. That's a liar. Self-banned 10 minutes. That is a liar, not a GIMP. GIMPs can't type. That's ridiculous. GIMPs can't fucking type. GIMPs have no idea what computers are. Give me a break. Think I'm an idiot? And I've never had an escape GIMP. One, well, a few in the early days, but I got them back. Okay, this is a great question from Enrique Nunez is asking, what are your thoughts on the body storing trauma and how can we live? You know, okay, that's a good question. And then I'm going to show you guys something. Something very special. So I have scoliosis, not to brag. And like if you see me at a pool, you're going to be like, what the fuck? You can kind of see it. Do that side shot. Kind of see the way I'm like, I have scoliosis. Like I've shrunk a little bit. I used to be taller than I am. And when I went through a period of like, I don't know, years of back pain, like insane, debilitating back pain where, I would like have to lay in bed for a couple of days because it would just start spasming and I would go to chiropractors. Ugh, that was a dark period, man. I was fucking broke too in those days, and chiropractors are expensive. And like I would desperately go to a chiropractor, and once or twice it worked. They would like do some adjustment and it wouldn't hurt anymore. But sometimes it wouldn't work. And chiropractor jokes. Oh my god. Hate them. If you've ever been to a chiropractor, the chiropractor will like pop your back and then be like, you want to sing around after that? Shut up. Anyway, I told Johnny Pemberton, you know, I was bitching about my back, and pull up healing back pain, Josh.
You want to read that
damn
one?
Wait, we got a $10 super chat. I've had moments on mushrooms where it felt like I've reached a point where I entered in the realm that exceeded time and I was terrified. From a Buddhist perspective, any thoughts? Okay, we'll get back to that. Pull up healing back pain. I do have thoughts on that. Of course I have thoughts on that. I have thoughts on everything because I'm a fool. I'll actually answer that like I know. Healing back pain, the mind-body connection by John E. Sarno. So Pemberton told me about this fucking book and I thought that's such horseshit. That cannot work. I've been going to fucking chiropractors. I have scoliosis. My back is a mess. There's no way I'm going to be able to deal with this back pain. And I read that fucking book, and to this day, my back's better. You should check it out if you're having back pain. And maybe it was just like the like pointing out that there could be a mind body connection. And I need to have him back on. Connor Abib, we talk about this sometimes, like, you know. If you look at sort of aphorisms, if you look at like what people will say, like, oh man, I'm breaking my back at this job, or, you know, oh, that's a weight off, or stuff like that, kind of points to like this sort of metaphysical back that stores all of your unacknowledged anxiety. That so the general like distorted view of how to deal with your own personal suffering is that don't look at it, don't feel it, don't acknowledge it, distract yourself. And there's obviously it's far more subtle than that, but where does it go? It doesn't go anywhere. And so the idea is your body like kind of like stores it. And one of those places is your back. And so if you just start turning, like, it's not like you have to fix the problem, which a lot of people think. It's not like you have to tie up all the bullshit, like dangling loose ends in your life or do some kind of monumental trajectory change of your life necessarily. It's that you just need to acknowledge what's going on instead of ignoring it and not be afraid of acknowledging it and be, you know, realizing like there's no difference in acknowledging it. It's like people who are afraid to go to the doctor because they think the doctor will make them sick. Whatever's going on is already there. Just acknowledge it. And then something about that points towards like a mechanism of data storage, short-term memory versus long-term memory. Your back is some kind of short, shitty short-term memory, like USB stick with all your bullshit there. You know, the back, you put it behind you. Yeah, but it worked. I could speak from experience. Like, I still, my back hurts every once in a while, but nothing like it used to. Nothing like it used to. Every once in a while, it'll go out or whatever, but it's just much better now. And it seems to be completely related to that book. All right, ether body. Now, then I'm going to show you guys something cool. I've had moments on mushrooms where it felt like I reached a point where I entered in the realm that exceeded time and was terrified. Well,
the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go
big time
on a fancy water bottle
with ultra-titanium alloy metal.
You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water.
But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
That makes me think of this story I heard Jack Kornfield say, which I'll probably butcher. This monk is out in the woods, Burmese monk. And this monk is meditating diligently, months and months of meditating. And the monk starts experiencing all of these siddhis, which are the name for like the paranormal manifestations that happen if you get a good meditation practice going. Levitating. He can suddenly understand what the birds are saying. The monk is very excited. He sees this as a sign of advancement. And so he goes to his teacher and says, I can hear what the birds are saying. I can levitate finally. And his master says to him, you've missed the whole point. It's not what is happening. It's who it's happening to that you should look into. And so these like great visions granted by psychedelics are incredible. I've had so many and I love them. But when you think of like having maybe a experience of what sounds like unit of consciousness, which is certainly accessible from psychedelics, which is very exciting and very cool, you still are back here typing the question. Like that, you know, when I first met David, I remember telling him once I meditated, I was on no drugs. And for a moment, I felt like I had merged with everything. Like it was like a, what I generally would associate with like a pretty high microgram LSD trip. And, but there was no drugs, which is what made it so remarkable to me. And he goes, "Is it still happening?" Like, no. You got me to describe it. Well, can you describe it? What was it like? Was it like, let's just think about it. If it was a color, what color would it be? Was it malleable? Do you think it was the kind of experience you could affect? And by the end of the deconstruction of the thing, you realize that whatever had happened just wasn't happening anymore. And my assessment of what had happened, it become blurry at best, to the point where there was some kind of encoded memory of this moment that had happened that I had painted on so many times with each retelling that it had become absolutely meaningless in the sense that it had become something in the past. And whereas this is what's happening right now. And so all of these peak experiences are great and worth noting, but they can become sand traps. They can become this kind of watermark, like an ethereal watermark, which is what you, if you're not now when you take mushrooms, if you're not transcending time space, was it a good trip? I mean, I didn't transcend time space. Now, if you're meditating, if you're not merging with the totality of all things, levitating, hearing what the language of the birds, are you backsliding a little bit? And so the frustrating instruction is, yeah, that's not happening now. Another story that points in the direction of not getting trapped by mystical experiences related to psychedelics or your spiritual practice is famously, there's a story of a devotee going to Srila Prabhupada, the founder of the Hare Krishnas, and saying, "When I chant Hare Krishna, I see a light floating towards me." And Prabhupada said, "Keep chanting and it'll go away." So this is not to discount your experience, which sounds very beautiful and incredible, but more to invite you to like do a deep investigation of what you think that was and then ask yourself, is it happening now? And quite often with these experiences, we realize that whatever they were, they're not happening anymore. And that it's another form of attachment. It's another place you can cling to as you're desperately trying to eke out some kind of stability in the bardo of becoming the human bardo where everything is change. You know, to finish answering your question, it's what Chogyam Trungpa said. The bad news is you're falling. The good news is there's no ground. And so this is sort of the general situation. Whatever stability you cling to, whether it's metaphysical stability or whether it's interpersonal stability, whatever forms you think are lasting in this world are not. And you, the more you believe in any kind of permanence to anything at all, the more disappointed you will be, because unfortunately, everything is always shifting and changing, and this can be very sad for people. In the same way, it was sad, you know, when you found out there was no Santa Claus.
What?
Oh shit! I mean, some people. Santa Claus doesn't go to everybody's house. Just like, you know, some people. I meant when you find out that Santa Claus won't come to your house anymore, John.
There's, oh, okay.
Great. I talked to him on Cameo the other day. He's awesome. expensive. All right. Now, I'm going to show you all something. And I've been thinking about doing this for a while. And I've had some reservations about it. And because I don't want this to be misconstrued. But so first, let me just say this. Here's the preface to this. For those of you who love the Midnight Gospel, we're not doing another season. I just want to eradicate any hope you might have there. But I get asked a lot, you know, what happened? Why didn't Netflix do another season? And, you know, wrapped up in that question is an opportunity for me to seem ungrateful to Netflix or to seem like, you know, a dick. So I guess the first thing I want to say is like, you have to understand how insane it was that Netflix let us make that show. And that people who, look, I know it's frustrating when you don't get a second season of something, but you got to understand that, like, the fact that they let us make that really is like miraculous. That show never should have gotten made. It never should have gotten made.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go
big time
on a fancy water bottle
with ultra-titanium alloy metal.
You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water.
But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
And it wasn't just that they let us make this insane show. It's that they let us make it in the United States. The animators were all at Titmouse, in-house animation team. And for those of you who don't know much about how animation works, generally, animation is done overseas. So, you know, you ship storyboards out to different animation houses and you get like three revisions or something like that. Like, and that's it and you're done. But, and you have to do that because animation is so expensive. And so a lot of animation gets made overseas, but I know I could have looked at the budget of the Midnight Gospel, but I never looked because I didn't want that to impact me feeling free to come up with ideas with Pendleton. So I have no idea how much it cost, but it must have been fucking expensive. It must have, it had to have been. It was done in the United States and they gave us all the time we needed. And the more time, the more expensive it is. And they, every step of the way, they were just totally cool with this insane thing that we were making. And very generous in letting us like figure out what it was. So I only have like a sense of gratitude for the fact that they let us make it. And yeah, would I have liked to, there is in my mind another season, but also I get it, man. Like it's a business. It's a business. They're trying to like, you know, they're trying to make you there's a, probably a crystal clear set of like numbers that justify paying more money for another season. And the Midnight Gospel did not get that initially. It's like a boutique-y, arty, philosophical, crazy show. You know, this isn't Stranger Things, which is great, but that's what you want if you're running Netflix to justify spending money on making stuff is you need to get a certain number of views and those views have to happen in a certain way and then you make the show again. And so that's just how it works. And that did not happen, which anyone who loves the show, I mean, think about it. It's like, it's weird, man. Like, it's not mainstream. It's completely bizarre. And, you know, it doesn't have cliffhangers in between each episode. It's not pulling you along in the normal way. And it deals with some heavy duty fucking shit. I could see how, like, somebody who wasn't into that stuff and wanted to watch Castlevania or something would not stick around with that show. Maybe watch the first episode, but not make it through the whole season, which is what I think Netflix is looking for when it comes to, you know, making animation. Also, the the whole universe has changed when it comes to streaming services and stuff and profit margins and profit models and stuff. We just happen to get in at the exact right time and they let us make it. So it's a beautiful window. But without giving any more further detail in that regard, I did about, you know, 10 months ago or so, you know, I'm not going to say anything about why, but I did make a trailer for maybe what season two would look like. And go back to the chat for a second before we get into this. So I did make a trailer for what season two would look like in my mind. And I got some pretty cool people to do it. Jesse Moynihan, who was one of the main, you know, animators on the show, helped me with this. And, you know, one of the fans of the Midnight Gospel, who I couldn't believe it, you know, little Yachty loves the Midnight Gospel. And so I reached out to him and he's like one of the artists where I feel nervous talking to. And so I reached out to him to see if he would do the voice of Daniel Hoops in this tiny little trailer here. Now, again, for people just, I really want to, this is not a teaser like we're a second season is coming out. It is not. So just, I don't want anyone to think that we're getting another season. It's not happening. There's no second season of the Midnight Gospel. But I did make this thing, and I realized it's kind of sad to not share it with people. Like, what am I doing? So I made this thing with Jesse Moynihan, and I figured, why not just show it to the live feed? I can't, if you're listening to this, unfortunately, you won't see this. They'll hear the audio. You'll just hear the audio of it, and maybe some other time I'll upload it. I just have to like clear some things first. But anyway, for my dearest live audience, I'm going to show you this now. What'd you guys think? Cool. I'm glad you liked it. It felt good to show it to people finally. Kind of been sitting on that. Yeah, definitely nobody, if anybody was like recording this, don't share that. That'd be horrible. Oh no, please, K makes things. Don't post that. That would be terrible. But yeah, that's Ron White was in it. Ian Fidance was in it. But yeah, there was a lot of like, I love the way it came out. It was really good. But yeah, you know, I guess it's like there's some small universe where if somebody leaked it or I don't know, a lot of people saw it and went around a lot. Like it'd have to be an insane amount. It would have to be crazy. And it would start off with someone doing the wrong thing, which would be to leak it. That would be so bad. It would be really bad. And then, I mean, theoretically, I don't know. I don't know how that stuff works. But I don't know. Maybe Netflix, who knows? You never know. Regardless, this is just for you. And like, I know how the internet works, which is that if you ask people not to leak something, they won't. I know that, yeah, you just can show anything and people don't record it or have access to it, to technology that would record it. And they don't leak when I ask. So please, if you leak, it'll be a 10-minute ban when you come back. Minimum, maybe so far we've only done up to like 7-minute maybe a 10-minute ban. I don't remember, but we've never done a 15-minuter. And I would probably give you a 15-minute ban for leaking it. So leak at your own risk, my friends. Well, look, we got to wrap this sucker up. It's been over an hour and a half. I want to thank you so much for hanging out with me for an hour and a half or more. I don't know how long it's been. I love doing these solo episodes. They're so fun. You guys are so cool. Thank you for your donations. That's insane and unnecessary. And it does create a hierarchical system of communication, which I feel weird about. But then my kids eat organic, you know, so it doesn't hurt. But wait a second. Sanson says, do you hear that leak? I hope you didn't, man. Seriously. You really, 3-minute ban just for intimating that you did. Hi, Corey Gallagher from Indiana. Anyway, listen, I love you guys, and I hope you have a great week. We're only doing one podcast this week. I'm a little busy right now. I'm in the thick of a tour, and I know it sounds weird to say I'm busy, but I'm about to go to a meditation retreat, which seems odd that that would mean you're busy. But yeah, I've got to like fly up to Menla tomorrow, and I'm doing a meditation retreat with David, which I'm excited about. And then I'm back on the road. I'm going to be in the Comedy Zone in Greenville, and then after that in Vegas. And then I've got a nice 6-week chunk where I don't have to do anything, and I'm excited about that. So, I'll be at the Mothership during that 6-week chunk. And I'd love for you guys to come see me live. I love you guys. I'm out of here. Hare Krishna. Bye.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. And you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. WATER to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.